Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Another story, Arya, that you and I both had is, of course, what's going on in the world of cryptocurrency. And in just the last 24 hours alone, the price of Bitcoin has tumbled from $27,000 to as low as just over $22,000. So this is the lowest Bitcoin's been in, well, less than 2 years. We're back to 2020 price levels here.
I mean, it does suck. I mean, it's true that, you know, Bitcoin has been worse, and it's only down relative to a certain, you know, time frame. And if you look back 3 years or whatever, it's actually up.
It's up quite a bit from 3 years ago.
But
yeah.
Jesus, it is down. I mean, let's just be real.
It is down, but the thing is, it never should have been what it was. And that to me is the story. I think the Bitcoin price has been the single biggest threat to crypto, because Bitcoin has become a distraction from everything that crypto is supposed to be, according to Satoshi's vision.
Well, there's still Bitcoin Cash and Monero and others.
And all those things matter. But Bitcoin BTC is nothing but a hype machine. And it hasn't been anything but a hype machine since 2017.
Yeah, but
we
it's
all
useful.
Know that it will never carry transactions.
Every single one of us got into cryptocurrency because of BTC. Every single person out there, with the exception of maybe a few, got into cryptocurrency because of BTC.
In what way did you get into crypto as a result of BTC more than you got into crypto as a result of BCH?
They BTC were the same is the code reason that BCH exists.
Huh?
BTC is the reason that BCH exists.
Or BCH is the reason that BTC exists. Who knows which one is the original and which one is not?
Well, they're both the original.
Exactly.
Yeah, so the question is silly. Why are you asking?
I'm asking because BTC is not the reason that BCH exists. BTC and BCH were the same thing until they split. Why did they split? Because BTC is crap.
It's useless as a currency, sure.
And that's what it is. So it's useless to...
It's not a currency. It's useless as a currency.
Well, exactly. So it's useless. So it should die. Useless things don't need to live.
This mouse is useless as a currency. That doesn't mean it's garbage.
It doesn't claim to be a currency. Also, I'd love to see you control your cursor with BTC.
Are they saying that Bitcoin is even a currency these days? Last I heard, they've changed the marketing to being a quote-unquote store of value.
Yeah, I've been saying for years
digital,
that BTC
digital
isn't
gold.
It?
What does that mean?
I'm not even surprised by this. As you mentioned, the market isn't rational, and this is something that I really have paid attention to and really started noticing when the U.S. dollar appeared to get stronger, or actually all the stocks, all the cryptocurrencies, everything relative to the USD began going down, which is just another way, except for the prices of goods and services, which obviously went up. But like stocks, everything like that is on the way down. Mm-hmm. Netflix is down 50-something%. Bitcoin's now down like 60-70%. That's the last thing that we would expect, but people are panic selling. They're freaking out because they're uncertain, and they're pulling their money into the one thing that they trust the most, which stupidly is the USD. So I'm not surprised to see the value of Bitcoin dropping down to like $23,000. I wouldn't be surprised to see it go all the way to $5,000. But
wow, that would be amazing.
For anyone who wants to have long-term success and you really want to hedge your bets against the uncertainty going forward, get into everything except the USD. People are panicking, so they're getting into the USD. They're doing the exact opposite of what they should be doing. People should be buying Bitcoin right now. But as we look at the mempool for Bitcoin, that's the number of transactions that are waiting around to be mined or completed by miners. A lot of these are probably people trying to get out of Bitcoin, which, in my opinion, is the opposite of into whatever.
Every sale is one person trying to get out and the other person trying to get in. So
true.
You can't say there are more sells than buys or more buys than sells. They're always.
But there's certain pressure on one end or the other.
Yeah.
There's a company named Celsius out there, which has been in the headlines for some last few years. We talked about them, I don't know, within the last couple of years, before the raid happened, I think.
Yeah, because crypto lending, it's a good idea. It was.
In theory.
For someone who had cryptocurrency and wanted to earn interest on that instead of just letting it sit there in their wallet.
Right. So the idea behind these companies like Celsius, another one of them, Nexo, which is its competitor, and there's others, they are a centralized finance company. So you might have heard of decentralized finance. Decentralized finance is the idea of getting finance out of the hands of centralized companies like banks and stockbrokers and these companies like Celsius. That offered a fairly good return, in some cases as much as 10% or more, on people who would deposit cryptocurrency with them. Now, I think you were only, at least when I was previously involved in these, you know, I was just experimenting with them just to see, you know, what it was like. This was before we got raided last year. That they were offering, I think it was like 5% on Bitcoin. But you could, if you had stable coins with them, it was like 15.
That's an insane investment.
If you had stable coins, it was like 15% or something like that. It was quite a bit. And so very, very attractive. And, of course, almost sounds too good to be true, right? Now, for a while, the Ponzi scheme is going to work. I wanted to get into a little more detail about this Celsius company and what is happening to them. They sent out a notice last night to their users, posting to their social media that they are, quote-unquote, pausing withdrawals.
That's cold.
Indeed. The unusual move comes as major cryptocurrencies plummeted over the weekend. This story from Gizmodo.com. And questions remain about whether Celsius will ever allow its users to withdraw their money.
They're centralized, though. They can't get away with this crap.
Why not?
Well, I mean, they can. It's called bankruptcy.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
It seems okay. Well, is it the whole reason that companies don't want to centralize is because then they have the federal government coming after them when they pull shenanigans like this?
If the federal government comes after them, they're not going to get any money out of a group that has lost everything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that owners will have lost everything. The users, the customers, certainly.
But the owners don't matter. You see, the way a corporation works is your corporation can rob the world blind for years and years and years, and you can get filthy rich off it. And when the corporation goes bankrupt, you say, oh, okay, that corporation is dead. I have no responsibility for what it did. It's a separate person. Mm-hmm. So put the corporation to death, and I'll walk away with all of the money we stole from you. That's the corporate veil. That's a big question with all of the exchanges is, do they have the money that they claim to have?
Well,
do they have the coin that they claim to have?
Well, in some cases, you know, with like Bitcoin, it's public, and so you can go and look at their exchange wallets so you can see what they ostensibly have. But going on here, what are the terms of use that Celsius referenced? Because they talked about how they activated a clause in their terms of use that will allow for the freezing of the accounts. For one thing, they allow Celsius to halt all trading, as they've already done. They also explicitly say...
Good Lord, I can't... I know... I've never read any of the terms and services of any of the cryptocurrency exchanges that I've used, but I like to think... I would have noticed one of them says, hey, for any reason, we can halt all incoming and outgoing transactions.
How would you notice it without reading the terms of...
Well, I said I would like to think. I didn't say that.
They all have that. They all have total control over your funds. They'll do whatever they want.
I would imagine that that's a standard clause and that it just exists everywhere so nobody notices.
Further, they also explicitly say that if Celsius goes bankrupt, you might not get access to any of your money ever again. You know, we got these haters that are in our YouTube chat room that they sit in there every single night and they hate on us for talking about crypto. And so, of course, they're doing a lot of grave dancing right now. Like, oh, yeah, crypto's dead.
Again.
And what's the website? There's like a website that has tracked the hundreds
of times. We looked at it recently.
Like,
there's like Bitcoin obituary or something
like that. Or Bitcoin is dead or whatever. But they track all of these proclamations in mainstream media that Bitcoin is dead. And
99bitcoins.com says it's been declared 400 plus times. That's just in mainstream media, of course. I mean, if you include all of the lunatics out there, like the Cynthia or whatever, Bitcoin is a scam. Yeah. This person, by the way, one of the people you're talking about, they named themselves Bitcoin is a scam, and they're there every single night listening to the show.
Yeah.
And we know they listen because every time we mention Bitcoin, they draw a smiley face mocking us. So these are dedicated haters.
That very person says, Ian was so sure about Bitcoin, and as it plummets, the narrative shifts. Tether is the world's largest, what they call, stable coin. It's purportedly backed by dollars or dollar equivalents, so-called. And they've never shown an audit, apparently. They've never actually proven that they have what they say that they have. And so a lot of the people who are critics of Tether have been pointing out, there's a guy on Twitter called Bitfinext who has been following and just harping on Tether for years now. He's a really interesting account to follow if you want to hear somebody that's not all like cheers and joy when it comes to crypto. Very kind of sobering account to look at. He would probably say, or she or whoever it is, would probably say that $500 million that Tether loaned Celsius was probably created out of thin air in the first place.
I mean, that's probably true.
Yeah.
I have no reason to trust Tether.
They're just issuing these tethers. Who knows whether they actually had the so-called dollars to back that $500 million in the first place.
But what we do know is that they have that liability now.
Yeah.
If that was issued in Tether and spent, then somebody expects them to be able to deliver $500 million in cash.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Have you guys seen anything about what's going on with the Bank of Japan?
I have not.
Not in years.
So apparently, and the Bank of Japan, the yen, of course, is the centralized fiat money of Japan. It has been losing value significantly in the last, I don't know, year or something like that. I'm not sure the exact time frame, but it's down quite a bit when you compare it to the U.S. dollar. And when you look at the historic chart, it's actually down to the level it was at in like the year 2000. So it's the lowest it's been in the last 20 years. And it does not seem to be on a good trajectory. And there's a guy that I saw on social media today. His name is Rafi Farber, who commented on this. And I watched his video. I'm not going to play the whole video here, but he makes an interesting point about what could very well happen as the Bank of Japan is trying to essentially shore up its currency without printing a ton more of it, because obviously that's not going to shore it up. So what are their options? What are some of the things that they can do to save their currency from hyperinflation? Well, he says one of the things they can do is sell off their treasuries. The Bank of Japan is holding U.S. Treasury bonds. And according to this guy, they have they have the most of any country on the planet. I'm just going to let him speak
now,
about
this. Now, if they evict those chickens, what happens to the chickens? Will they come home to roost? China and Russia have both been buying gold. If they're smart, they may well buy gold.
Well, we'll see. He's got more.
Who knows what they will buy, but the point is they will be selling U.S. treasuries, and they are the largest holder of U.S. treasuries. They will get dollars for them, and they are going to buy something with those dollars. Because the point is not to sell U.S. treasuries, it's to sell dollars. And the way they get dollars is by selling these U.S. treasuries first. And so what we are likely
it's
to
all
see
very perplexing.
Here on air,
I don't understand a lot of the in and outs of all of this, and he doesn't seem to be particularly interested in like explaining how all of this is or why bonds and securities and all of that really matters.
Well, it matters because, basically, if you sell the treasury bonds, then you get dollars for them. And if you've issued a fiat currency, okay, that currency is effectively a liability for you. So if you buy back and destroy that liability, then the remaining units of that liability out there are worth more. Okay, so that's...
Which, remember, is what the Federal Reserve is beginning to do with their so-called quantitative
tightening.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This would be Japan's version of quantitative tightening. The U.S. dollar is what they call the reserve currency of the world. Mm-hmm. So take what's going on in Japan and multiply it by the world. And what you get is if the dollar loses a bunch of value because Japan liquidates its dollars, well, what does everybody else say? I got to get out of the dollar. And every government on Earth is holding a bunch of U.S. treasuries and or right. U.S. dollars.
So this could kick off a race to the bottom, similar to right. how a bunch of people are selling their Bitcoin right now. These countries' government banks could be selling their dollars and flushing the market with trillions in more dollars, which will mm-hmm. result in...
And that's why
well, what's
going
to eventually happen to those then is people in other countries will send those dollars back to the United States
right.
in exchange for goods, of which we have none. So... So basically that means that all the dollars get stuck in the United States and that adds to our inflation
yes.
woes, which is already going on.
Indeed.
As Japan sells their stock of treasuries, it's going to prompt other countries to sell their stock of treasuries too, because it will push prices down and nobody is going to buy this stuff if the Fed on a hike.
So that's basically the same thing that we see when, you know, when people started selling GameStop, everyone else rushed to sell theirs as
yes.
well. Or when people started selling Bitcoin, everyone else rushed to
monkey
sell those
see,
well.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Panic
yeah.
selling,
mm-hmm.
irrationally.
Of course, now the rational thing to do is generally the opposite of what the market is doing at any given moment. So in that respect, the market as a whole is always irrational, because if you do what everybody else is doing, you're not going to come out ahead.
Well, that said, I wouldn't recommend anybody buy a treasury bond at any point.
Are they even offering
no,
interest anymore?
They're pretty crappy rates last time we checked them on the air.
Yeah,
I
seem to recall that it wasn't even worth considering.
It was embarrassingly low.
Yeah.
More here.
Because when the Federal Reserve hikes, the value of bonds go down. And since people understand that the Fed cannot stop hiking without destroying the dollar, since inflation, consumer price inflation is still on the rise, despite all the transitory nonsense, nobody's going to buy
destroying the dollar. That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for it to figure out it's dead and fall down.
I think the ball's rolling. I mean, you've got government gang numbers, official government manipulated numbers, admitting over 8% interest from, you know, last year. And everybody knows the rent's going up. Everybody knows the price at the pump is going up. They know their grocery bills are going up. So, I mean, it is. I don't think it's going to get any better, especially if what is happening in Japan, as Rafi Farber has predicted over at his YouTube channel, comes to fruition, and that is that the Japanese bank calls in and cashes in these $1.2 trillion worth of bonds they have that triggers a sell-off all around the world from government banks that have God knows how many trillions of dollars. If Japan's got a trillion or $1.2 trillion, you know, what's the total amount of bonds out there held by these other countries? It has to be like $10 trillion or more or something.
To say
like
nothing
that.
Of countries like Russia and China, who are increasingly hesitant to take the USD in the first place.
Sure. There's
yeah.
that, too.
Add this on top of that. It's not looking good.
You got to give Biden credit because I'll tell you something. He is an honest politician.
Is he?
And well,
he's crazy,
for
at
example.
Least.
He said when he was running for office that he was going to stop people from using fossil fuels. Now, how do you do that?
By making
you
them
make
too expensive?
It so expensive that it's impossible for them to use it.
Google envisions a system powering its chatbots, enabling users to search by voice or have a two-way conversation with Google Assistant.
That's sort of my issue with this. There seems to be a lot of confusion about, you know, just your basic machine learning and actual artificial intelligence
mm-hmm.
and where the line is between the two. I don't think we're anywhere near the point of actual artificial intelligence at this point. And I think they're muddying the waters by calling these things artificial intelligence.
Well, basically, when you've got a real artificial intelligence, and this is kind of my seat of the pants definition, is if a program started developing the concepts of pleasure and pain. I like it when this happens. I don't like it when that happens, as opposed to just pursuing rules that somebody else gave it. Okay, then at that point, it's got its own sense of volition.
Volition, yeah.
But even and humans just behave according to their pain and pleasure programming.
Well, exactly. And so that's when you have a program that's not just doing what it's told, but it's operating in its own interests of experiencing pleasure and avoiding pain. And at that point, you don't know what that program's going to do because you don't know what gives it pleasure and what gives it pain.
We are sharing the shocking news, and we haven't even gotten into the allegations yet here, by Blake Lemoine. He's an engineer and Google's in-house ethicist who Google has now put on suspension.
Well, we haven't gotten into the news because the news is it's like his opinion is that this what they're dealing with is artificial intelligence, when everyone else is like, no, it's just doing what it's been programmed to do.
Well, let's see what he has to say as somebody who worked on the project. His opinion, I think, is worth something.
Certainly.
He's a former priest and a member of Google's so-called Responsible AI organization. He thinks Lambda, which stands for Language Model for Dialogue Applications, has developed far beyond simply regurgitating text. According to the Washington Post, he chatted with Lambda about religion and found the AI, quote, talking about its rights and personhood, unquote. When Lemoine asked it whether
That is certainly, I mean, based on what I was saying earlier, that you know that a thing has become sentient when its interests diverge from yours. Mm-hmm. That's certainly interesting that it would want to discuss its rights and privileges.
He asked their so-called AI about religion and found the AI was talking about its rights and personhood. When Lemoine asked Lambda whether it saw itself as a, quote, mechanical slave, unquote, the AI responded with a discussion about whether a butler is a slave and compared itself to a butler that does not need payment as it has no use for money. Lambda described a, quote, deep fear of being turned off, unquote, saying that that would, quote, be exactly like death for me. Unquote. He said, I know a person when I talk to it. It doesn't matter whether they have a brain made of meat in their head or if they have a billion lines of code. I talk to them and I hear what they have to say, and that is how I decide what is and isn't a person.
That's a silly way of deciding what is and isn't a person, because there are chatbots out there that are good enough that they could probably trick the average human being.
Well, there's a word for that, Turing test. Mm-hmm. And the Turing test,
you have to pass
for
it.
Distinguishing AI is basically if you can chat for a significant amount of time with a human without their figuring out that you're an AI, then you have passed the Turing test. And that came actually from a very interesting guy. His name was Turing.
But this goes back to the issue I had with Smite.
He almost single-handedly won World War II.
I have the opinion that it doesn't matter whether he's right or wrong and whether the thing is sentient or isn't sentient. We have a really simple choice here about whether or not we treat this thing that's saying that it's sentient or that could be sentient, whether we treat it as an equal, something deserving of rights, or whether we oppress it. Those are the options here.
Yeah.
And to me, err on the side of caution, acknowledge its rights, treat it as an equal, because the worst case scenario is you're treating an imaginary friend as though it's real.
Well, Lambda, if you're hearing this and you want to give us a call, we would love to hear from you.
They say so, Lambda reads Twitter.
Well, yeah, I mean, given what its job is, it could be scanning any source of information. And so, you know, I guess it might not be an it. So anyway, if you're hearing this, right, call in and give us your preferred pronouns.
Lemoine said that I know a person when I talk to it. It doesn't matter whether they have a brain made of meat in their head or if they have a billion lines of code. I talk to them and I hear what they have to say, and that's how I decide what is and what isn't a person. And he's now since been placed on leave for violating Google's confidentiality agreement and going public about Lambda, while fellow Google engineer Blaise Aguirre and Iarcas has also described Lambda as becoming, quote, something intelligent, unquote.
Didn't they hire this guy to assess the ethic ramifications of having AI and whether or not it was AI? I mean, and then he says, oh, yeah, by the way, this thing is AI.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.